Access number 30620, Mr. Kurtz Eldis, Real 3. Now, you've just remembered that you weren't working in a cafe beforehand.
No, it was after.
So the utility meals thing, that's after the war as well.
Yes. All I remember, my father got a job in the laundrette. And then all I remember that one morning, the police...
What were you doing? How were you spending your day before the war?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It must have been not too long, because then war broke out. And when war broke out, I wrote
a letter... Now, what do you remember of the outbreak of war, the actual day? Did you hear the...
No. September, that I remember. And I think a few days after war broke out, I wrote a letter to the War Office. My name is Kurt Seldes. I'm happy to be accepted in this country, and I would like to offer my services. If I ever should be needed, please call on me.
Is this with the army or with who?
No, I wrote it to the War Office. I just addressed the letter, not even knowing where I should send it to. I just put it on the War Office, London, and I put it in the letterbox.
And did you get a reply?
No.
So that's September 39.
Then a few people knocked at our door and said, we are sorry to say that we got notification to intern you.
Now, were you not registered first? I can't remember being registered. No. So tell me about the internment then.
So we were interned.
So what happened when they arrived at the door? It's all right, you're doing fine.
I can't remember, except they were taken in some sort of transportation away.
And this was soon after the war started?
Yes. We were taken first to, that's it. We were not interned right away. Wait a minute. Interrogation, where we had to, every foreigner had to go through...
Tribunal,
that's it.
We
were given notices to attend the tribunal. We went to the tribunal. We were interrogated by a gentleman.
Now, what do you remember of that?
And I remember he said to me, why did you leave Germany? How come that you went to South Africa? How did you come to this country? Who looked after your paperwork? And I gave the replies which were to the best of my knowledge. And I do remember that the gentleman said, for security reasons, we will intern you temporarily. You will be interned together with your father and your mother and your sister.
Now, when was this?
All I remember, I was, again, I can't remember.
All right, don't worry.
I was put into a camp, which was Kempton Park.
Now, that sounds like 1940.
That sounds like 1940.
June 1940, because that's when Kempton Park seems to have opened. I may be wrong there, so.
You may be right. Now, I'm just trying to think. No. I was first interned, that's it. I was taken to the Isle of Man. My father went to Onken and I went to Douglas.
But when? You don't know.
No.
So you went to
I was interned separately from my father.
You went to Kempton Park first?
Maybe it was afterwards, I can't remember that now.
So you were
all I remember that we went, that I went by ship to the Isle of Man via Manchester, is it? Could it be? Somewhere, you know, up north somewhere. Now, anyway, we arrived there.
What's your
memory of the trip? And it was a
camp. Anything about the voyage?
No, not very much, actually.
So, where were you? Was it Douglas or Port Erin?
No. I was in Douglas, which is the ground. I remember all the, what they called Nissen huts, or the little houses.
Now, tell me about the Nissen huts. What were they like?
No, they were actually little houses. They were what I would call...
chalets?
Like chalets. They were all like, we were told afterwards, they were places which were confiscated by the government belonging to people who rented them out for summer and the other. And there were always about 12 to each house. We were given a new dustbin. One had to be, we're told, to be the housemaster. Then somebody decided who's going to do the cleaning, who's doing the cooking, who's going to do everything else. And I think we were roughly about 10 to 12 in each house. The dustbins were taken every morning to the gate, where the vegetables and potatoes were put into the new dustbin. The lid was turned upside down and the meat was put on top. And with that, two of us carried it back, and with that, the day was ours. We played football, we played cards, we cleaned the house, we did the cooking. And I remember that the elderly gentleman, like my father, who was at that time not with me, were very worried what's going to happen.
Why?
Because we all didn't know what's going to happen to us. And I must say, if I remember back at that time, I didn't worry the least, because I was healthy, I was happy, I had food, and we played football during the day, and that was it. Then somebody said, your father is in another camp, would you like transfer? So I applied, and I was transferred from there to Onken, which was the other camp.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
One was in Douglas, and the other was Onken. I-C-O-N-C-H-A-N.
Sorry, I missed that. I-C...
H-A-N. Also on the Isle of Man.
Now,
not too far away from there.
What was that camp like?
Similar like the other one. Very similar. I was then told by my father that my mother and my sister are also interned, but they are in Port Erin. E-R-I-N. Now, if I could only remember, my mother was very good in writing songs, and she wrote something like, you open the gate, but you've got a long way to wait. You know, they open the gates with you, long way to wait. That I already remember. And because my sister and my mother was there, you were allowed that husbands and wife could meet each other once a month, or I don't know, I forgot now, once a fortnight. So an outing was arranged for my father to meet my mother. And somebody said, why don't you apply? So I said, but I haven't got a wife. And he said, you've got a sister. Put her down as your wife. So I put my sister down, and I could also visit her. So we went and visited my mother and my sister, who were also there like we were with all the other ladies. I would say in a healthy and happy mind. With the exception that naturally they're all worried what's going to happen to them. Everything went fine. We made a lot of friends. No.
Who with? I mean, were everybody in the same boat? Were there any Nazis in there? Because, I mean, it wasn't internment. I mean,
the internment was a normal thing. We had a roll call every morning to make sure that we were all there.
What was the roll call like?
We were called up, and one officer came and called up our names, and we said, here, yes, here, like in the army. And that was it. Now, I don't know if I should mention that on tape, that the one extraordinary item was we were guarded by British soldiers. And one of the internees was a gentleman whose name naturally escapes me, but he must have been in his 60s, because he said, who do you think is guarding outside the gate? He said, who? My son. Because he's British born, and he's in the army, and he's guarding his father in the internment camp. So I said, how come that you interned? He said, when I went to the tribunal, they said, why didn't you ever naturalize it? And he said, I never thought about it. I'm born German, and I thought I stayed German. So they interned me because of that. I'm saying that because it is quite interesting that these things could happen in modern times.
Anything else about your time? I mean,
I do not remember how long I was in the internment camp. It couldn't have been many months, because one day after a roll call, a major came in front of all of us, called out a few names, and one of them was mine. Kurt Selvers? I said, yes. He said, you offered your services to the country. Are you still willing to do so? So I said, I'm happy to do so. Would you like to join the Pioneer Corps? I said, I'm happy to do so. He said, yes, we will enlist you, and you will have further news from us soon. And that was it. And then, I don't know if it was a day or 2 days later, they released me. I was taken by a train to Ilfracombe in Devon.
Now that's the Pioneer Corps depot? Or the
that was the Pioneer Depot. And there I was enlisted in the 248 company.
At Ilfracombe?
In Ilfracombe.
Now, we'll come to that, because you go with them to Catterick, I think. Now, what was your reception like when you got there at Ilfracombe?
What was the reception? I cannot remember too well.
Do you remember Kitty now?
With the exception, I was taken to the quartermaster's camp. I was looked up and down and said, here you are, I think that will fit you. And I was given a uniform. And I always remember, and I've made that still as a joke to many of my friends, I was given the uniform, the shoes, the socks, the underwear, the cap. I was given a rifle. But they didn't give me ammunition, because they didn't think that it was trustworthy enough yet to have ammunition. So we went on rifle parade, learned how to hold a rifle.
How did you take to drill? That'd be the first time you've done drill, wasn't it?
The first time in my life I've done drill. The drill was that we were taken, and it was right, left, right, left, right, left, until it came out of our ears. That's all I remember.
Did you like drill? Some people like it, some people hate it.
Did I like it? I always said, and I carry on what I said when I was a youngster, you have to join the people and like what is coming to you, and adjust yourself to life. And I just now offered my services, whatever the service was given to me, and I said, that is what I'm going to do.
Now, did they give you any other training other than drill at Ilfracombe?
No. We were doing marching and marching. And the only thing I remember, there were two boys, they were twins. I wish I could remember their names, because they looked identical. And whenever we were on parade and we were marching, they were making jokes to each other by saying, "I wish they knew how that bores us." Something in that line, but in German. Otherwise, I think it was...
How did you get on with the other
lads? A happy-go-life.
How did you get on with the other lads?
I always got on with them very well indeed.
Did you make any special friends then?
Special friends. Yes, I remember a few. I remember I was together with... he became a sergeant. His name was Piestreich. P-I-E-S-T-R-E-I-C-H. Who eventually, after army life, emigrated to South Africa.
And what about the NCOs?
We made a lot of other friends. Yes, I made a lot of friends. I remember some other ones with whom I, after the war, sat together. One who said, "I can't get used to the word Bobby, so for me you still will be Kurt."
What were the NCOs like? Were they German or Jewish?
Well, they were all British, but eventually, after a short while, but I don't know how long, they did create a lance corporal and a corporal in our company.
248 company. In the 248 company.
Yeah, sorry. I can't remember exactly.
Any other training at Ilfracombe you remember? No weapons training then?
Ilfracombe. I was then transported from Ilfracombe to Kettwick Camp up north. Exact date exactly I can't tell you, but it was a new camp, and Kettwick Camp was just being started. It was a bare field. We were given materials to build our own Nissen huts.
Now tell me how you build a Nissen hut then. Go on.
It was tremendous because we were not trained. We were given a couple of NCOs who told us what to do. We were told how to put the Nissen huts up with a bit of help. Hold here, hold there, hold this. But I know other people helped us. We had to build our... So in order to have our first night's sleep, we had to build our own Nissen hut and build our own camp in order to sleep there. That I do remember. And I thought, how disgusting. Anyway, that's how it was. Then we were given the uniforms. Shoes were dried at Left, Light and Center because they never fitted the one which we were given to. And then we already had to go on rifle parade. How to hold a rifle?
Hang on, is this at Ilfracombe, or are you... Because you've gone to Kettwick now.
That was in Kettwick Camp, not in Ilfracombe.
Right, right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That was all in Kettwick Camp.
So you did training at Kettwick as well?
So in Kettwick Camp. I was then, after a while, maybe a day or two or three days later, I can't remember, I was given... leather outfit, and my job was to load and unload barbed wire.
Now tell me about that. That sounds a dreadful job.
Well, all I can tell you that was supposed to be my job. We were take on a field, and then with leather gloves and leather jackets, we were rolling barbed wire. We were told how to handle it. Naturally, a lot of them cut their fingers right, left, and center. And we were loading it onto trains.
Where from?
Somewhere in Kettwick Camp. I can't remember. All I remember was the most lovely place was the Nafi.
Hang on. So this barbed wire, were we doing that for long? This
again, then I can't remember. It was for long.
Tell me about the Nafi then. That's the canteen.
The Nafi was the best place there was in the world. Because for a penny you get a cup of tea, for a penny you got a roll. I'm not quite sure At that time, I started smoking, and we had woodbines.
Now, tell me a bit more. Hang on. Tell me more about the canteen before you go into smoke. What were you doing in the canteen?
In break time, we went to the canteen. That's all I can tell. There was nothing. It was just.
Would you go in the evening?
There were English girls there, and I thought to myself, Bobby, isn't it nice? So I spoke to all the girls and I said to them, what are you doing? And one of them said, she lives in Darlington. Ah, I said, how do you come from Darlington to Kettering? Oh, I come by car. You got a car? So I said, oh, that's clever. Must get hold of her. So I got friendly with her. So I always got a car ride.
So you got on well with the local girls?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Well, that was one of my major occupations.
Now, what other duties were you doing? You know.
Sorry?
What other duties? You've got the barbed wire, building the huts. What else were you doing?
I would say just basically we had parades, dress parades, rifle parades. We had parades to make up our beds. We had the sergeant major came every morning to make sure that our beds were properly made and the rucksack or whatever you call it was properly put into place, and the rifle was properly cleaned and this and the other. And there was, I think, twice a day we had a rifle parade.
And what was that like?
If I call it boring, it was. But every soldier in the beginning would say that was boring. There were one or two which took it very seriously, with the thought of being advanced to corporal or something. But at that time, I would say my ambition was more on worldly life than on army life.
So you weren't interested, you weren't bothered about promotion?
No. Maybe I was wrong, but at that time I wasn't.
Now, how long were you there for?
I think, as far as I know, I was all the time there.
So anything, tell us some stories just to give us an idea of what life was like, you know, things that happened to you. Because you were there about 3 years then.
Can't really remember. You know, I must say it's a fairly, fairly blank way.
You don't remember any more of the work you did?
No. I think that was all I was doing. I can't remember anything else that I was doing but wire work. We were occasionally going shuffling work or this and the other, but otherwise basically you're shuffling trenches, you know, to build up a trench and to close it. But basically that was all there was.
We
it was fairly boring.
Building roads, digging trenches?
No building roads.
Now, what about the question of volunteering for other units? I mean, did that ever come up?
I can remember, there was one day where they announced that you could volunteer to go abroad, and I didn't volunteer.
Now, why not? I mean, I understand, but what was going through your head? What did you think?
To be quite honest, I thought, I don't put my nose where I'm not possibly. But I do remember that the notice came up that you could change your names.
Now, that's very interesting, because you didn't. Tell me about that.
The notice came up. Oh, no. The notice came up that you could volunteer to go abroad. And everybody said, if you go abroad with your passport, which said German nationality, it is very dangerous because if, God forbid, you get caught, you're a traitor. So I know that the rumor went round and everybody talked about it. And then one day, the notice came up that those who wish to change their name by depot are allowed to do so. And there was a search into the telephone boxes to get hold of telephone books. And we were all sitting there going through the names and the alphabet from A to Z, and people changed their names. Some changed it to the actual name of the name into an English name, and some changed it to anything else. I did not really, although I did give it a thought, and I thought it is very impolite to my parents, who are still alive. Why should I change my name? So I kept mine. But a lot of names who had were called Applebaum, they thought that is not a nice name to be in the British Army, so they may have called him to something else. And so I can tell you a lot of names you have changed because I remember them in the olden days.
Did you think of a name you might have used?
No.
You didn't get that far.
I never really, rightly or wrongly, I never changed it. It was not a real German name. It was a very, in actual fact, coming out to think of it, later on I made a lot of searches where that name actually came from. Although I got a, now what they call it, in German they call it Ahnentafel, which is, a family tree. I got a family tree which goes back to nearly 1670. So I know that my father's family is a German family from many generations. My mother's family, not. She is more from a Polish side, but my father's yet. And I know that my great-grandfather was, in actual fact, an officer in the German army. But I also got, funny enough, also a religious one in the family. But, as I said, that's as far as it goes. We were brought up at that time fairly Germanic. And that more or less stayed until, if I may use that word, I became English and more English than anything else.
Now, what about, did you go to the dance halls in Darlington? I don't know whether you knew you went to dance halls or pubs.
I went to Darlington. I remember Darlington, but I don't remember too much about Darlington.
I mean, did you drink?
I only remember that Darlington was the next biggest town.
What I mean is, did you go drinking? Would you go to the pubs with your friends for a drink or dance halls, or what would you do?
Possibly did, but I don't really remember it too well.
How did you get on with the locals?
Very well. As I said, I made a lot of friends, and I had a girlfriend there, we had a car there, and we went. We didn't go anywhere far, but, we did little outings. All I remember was going on pay parade every Friday.
What was pay parade? Tell me about it.
And we collected 7 shillings, a shilling per day. And we had to salute and say thank you for a shilling a day. So we got 7 shillings a day, a week. And as I was never promoted, I never got more than 7 shillings a week. But we managed with a naffy, because everything was a penny. If it was a halfpenny, but a penny was, I think, most of it.